What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hi, I'm Debbie Travis.
And I'm Tommy Smythe.
And this is Trust Me, I'm a Decorator. Hello, hello, hello. Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Debbie. What's on your mind?
Well, I thought today we'd talk about something that I think is on everybody's mind. And I think it has to be my favorite subject. So on this podcast, we want to basically talk about everything, right? You know, whether it's health, whether it's design, whether it's food, whatever. But my favorite topic of all, and I know you too, is travel.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, whether I'm traveling or not, I dream about it all the time. I click, you know, my Instagram to make a file of places on my wish list. And I started thinking about this a few days ago about, has the travel industry changed since we were all in lockdown, where we couldn't go anywhere?
I think it has.
So I have worked with an amazing woman called Mary Jo, who's a travel agent. And I asked her, what has happened in the travel industry? Is it the same old as before COVID? And she said it exploded. They have never seen a year like this year. Everybody wants to travel, but often the inspiration for travel has changed and is just very different today. And the motive for travel and the different opportunities for travel.
Yeah.
So I thought that's something we can really talk about. So she said it's never been busier. And what has changed is people are saying, you know what? I was so fed up. There's no better time. Like now, I'm doing it, I'm going. There's this kind of attitude of like,
yeah,
you know what, stop faffing around. What can we afford? Where are we going?
They call it revenge travel in the travel industry.
Revenge. Then the other thing I want to talk to you about is, how do you travel? So do you kind of look at your budget first and say, okay, we've got $1,000 or we've got $50,000? Do we look at bucket list travel, which I think of as a safari, retreats, people who come to our place in Italy. So one of the things that gave us ideas for travel a few years ago was influencers posting pictures of beautiful places.
Yes.
That has kind of changed. And I think you have to be a bit aware of that, because you have to remember that those influencers are getting free holidays or they're being paid. So very often there's been, right, a great deal of disappointment. People see this gorgeous beach somewhere and this girl in a red bikini and they go, oh my God, that looks so fabulous. And they get there and it's not so fabulous.
There's like 300,000 people on that same beach, not just one girl in a red bikini. Yeah, I've had that experience.
Exactly. So you have to be a bit cautious, because this has got a bit out of control with the influence stuff. And the agents, the travel agents that I've spoken to, are really fed up of it. But the thing that is steering holidays at the moment is movies and television shows we're watching. So one of them,
yes,
which I was really surprised about, was Ted Lasso. And it's like, I want to see in London where Ted lives.
Now that's Richmond, isn't
it? That is Richmond, which is an area on the Thames outside London where tourists wouldn't normally really go. It's beautiful and Londoners go there. It's got everything. And it's Hampton Court. Of course, tourists go there, Henry VIII and all that kind of stuff. But they're going now to the town of Richmond, which is stunning.
Yeah, it's like an affluent suburb of London.
Yeah, but not a suburb as a North American suburb. I mean, this is like 14th century houses and stuff on the Thames, and there's amazing restaurants and stuff. But it's just how interesting it is that people are saying, oh, I saw Ted Lasso, so I want to go and see where Ted lived. Then, of course, there's everybody's favorite, well, mine and yours, favorite show, which was White Lotus. So what White Lotus, oh, yeah, has done has got Europeans going to Hawaii, and then season two, North Americans are going to Sicily. And Sicily, even, yes, though I love Sicily, it's not the first place that maybe people who haven't traveled a lot would go to. They would go to Rome or Florence or Venice.
Sure.
Suddenly Sicily has become the hot spot in the world. And that gorgeous hotel in White Lotus is fully booked now for the next 5 years.
Now that's a Four Seasons property. So that is not an inexpensive hotel.
Oh, probably starts at $1,500 a night.
I would guess, yeah.
But I think this is a very interesting concept. So the bit of research that I've kind of done is how after COVID, we've changed our minds of how we go on holiday. Originally, I think it was budget. Okay, this is how much I've got to spend. Can I do an all-inclusive? Mm-hmm. And this exploring the world now, we realize what an advantage it is because the world during COVID got to be a very small place.
Right.
So I've asked a few agents about tips and what we should be looking at today.
Hold on. I just want to start with an advocacy moment for the idea of using a travel agent. I have for decades used a travel agent. And people think that because it is possible to book trips online now with the advent of the internet, that that's what they should be doing. And I will tell you, it is a full-time job to book a proper itinerary and multiple tickets and hotel bookings for a family of four, let alone for two people when Patrick and I do it. And I love my travel agent. His name is Robert. He has a company called Total Advantage Travel in Toronto. This is not an ad. This is me telling you, I am so grateful to have a travel agent and I think that people should use them. You don't pay them. They work on commission. The other people that they book with pay them. It is a free service and it's amazing.
I'm really glad you brought that up. So the lady I've been speaking to has been remarkable. And her travel agent is called MJ Enterprise. And her name is Mary Joy. And I really enjoy working with her. And I asked her exactly that question because I'm a very controlling, independent, oh, that's my husband talking, person. And I'm the one who thinks I can do it all better than everybody else and better than a travel agent. So I'm a Googler. So I look stuff up when I'm going somewhere, I book my own tickets and everything. And you're absolutely right, Tommy. Travel agents are back in business again. And they've had a very rocky road for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. Because we can all Google this stuff. But it's because we all want to travel. But there is a limited hospitality has been hit with a limited staff, whether it's airlines, hotels, restaurants, and people are being told in the hospitality, if you're a traveler, please be patient with people because you can't find staff.
Yes.
And one of the nightmares of travel, which was never great, is aeroplanes and strikes. So, of course, we've got strikes here all the time in Europe. We've got rail strikes. France keeps going on strike with the air traffic controllers. So, of course, you might not be going to France, but you can't fly over it. So, you know, when I go on Air Canada, who I have to say, don't get me onto that, but every plane is delayed. Now, there is nobody to help you.
No.
Let's say you're traveling and you're buggered. Your flight's been cancelled. How do you get your money back? It's been delayed another day. You can't reach anybody.
But your travel agent can fix
it. It's your travel agent. And she said, this is the thing that is bringing travel agents back because who do you call? And in the old days, you call the travel agent. And then we all thought we could do it better. Oh, I can book my own tickets and da, da, da. Well, you know what? Go back to using a travel agent because you've just traveled to Italy to see me. I've just traveled from Italy to England. I came to Canada. I didn't have one flight that wasn't a drama. And you can't reach anybody. And I think Air Canada have a special file of my hate mail. Most airlines do. Most airlines have a drawer somewhere with Debbie Travis letters.
You've been black flagged by certain airlines. Can I tell you a quick story, just a little anecdotal story about how helpful a travel agent can be? I was in England, in rural England, with Clodagh McKenna, who's going to be a future guest on this podcast, I hope. And I was in a bakery with her now husband, Harry, and he was buying a cake for our lunch. And a ping came on my phone and it said, your flight is now boarding at Heathrow. And I had completely flubbed the date. I was buying a cake in rural England, very far away from Heathrow. And so I was never getting on the plane. I called Robert at Total Advantage and I said, Robert, I have missed my flight, but I need to go home tomorrow because that's when I thought my flight was. So first of all, I would have missed the lunch. It would have taken me 5 hours to book a flight.
I love the way food is the most important thing for you. It's like, I would have missed the lunch.
You don't want to miss lunch when you're at Clodagh McKenna's. So it completely saved me just because I had a travel agent that I could call who could help me out of a situation. He got me home.
But you're absolutely right. And it costs you nothing. And you can work together with a travel agent. You can say, look, I found a cheaper flight, but let them do it because it's what they do well. So I asked Mary Joy, what else, if you're thinking of traveling this year, which I know so many are, insurance, insurance, insurance. That is the most important word. So when we have people come to our retreats, we can't force people to take insurance, but we probably mention it.
But don't you wish you could?
Well, it's their own tears if they don't, because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, what bloody disease is going to come next. Life throws things at us. You may be diagnosed with something. Your mum may fall and break her hip. You know, there's a million things. So why on earth would you wouldn't step in a car and drive a car without insurance. Why would you spend your hard-earned money and not get insurance? Now, most people have got plane insurance. That goes sometimes with your credit cards and stuff. But if you're going to something like a retreat center, you see, hotels' cancellation policy is fairly short. So you can often cancel a few days before.
Or even 24 hours before many hotels.
Yes, but that's with things like retreats, which has become very, very popular. You might be going to a yoga week. You might be going to, in our case, a classic car rally retreat. We can't afford to lose that room. You may say, you know, I lost all my limbs yesterday and I can't come. And I have become very tough. I can't return the money because we've booked all the meals. You know, in the case of the cars, it's not that much to get insurance. So you have to insure yourself if you're going on a specialty type of holiday, because you cannot rely on the fact that, oh, I'm fit and healthy and nothing's going to happen, because something always happens.
Solid advice from a travel agent.
So please look at insurance. You may already have it in, you know, it's how you book your flights and things. And, you know, if you, I think certain credit cards do it. But that was her biggest tip. And she said she's mopping up tears kind of all the time.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
10 out of 10 people do not know how much their automatic credit card insurance covers until something happens to them. So my advice would be, look at the forms and the information that comes with your credit card and find out how much you are covered for. Because I guarantee you, it's not what you think.
No, it's not.
It's the basics.
Much. And you have to make sure you're covered for things like the flight, the trip itself, the full thing you paid for, lost luggage. Again, that's a big to-do.
Stolen items.
Oh, and just about luggage, we just bought the little things that you put in your luggage that can find them.
Oh, yes, the AirTags.
Yeah. So I had a frantic phone call when I was in the car coming from the airport yesterday, because I came into the house, dropped my stuff and went out to get a coffee. And then it comes up saying, your luggage is not with you. Your luggage is not. I'm like, What? What's happened? And I, oh my God. And I actually called Hans and I said, my luggage is lost. He said, sitting in the living room. So did somebody steal it?
Yeah, no, you left
the tag. I didn't realize you've left it. That's the first time I've used it. So I don't know how expensive they are, but I think that's an important thing to get that tag.
Patrick and I have them in all of our bags.
Yeah. Let's look at the difference. So everybody's dreaming of just getting out, going somewhere, whether it's local or you're going, you know, to the Maldives or something. But there's so many different types of holiday now. So I wanted to kind of go through some of them and talk about the different ways you can travel. And especially if you're single, because when we used to do our live Instagrams, we talked a lot about travel on our own, you know, especially for women. And it can be very lonely and very hard kind of in the evening. But there are other ways of doing this. Plus, the other thing about travel can be hideous if you're part of a big tour, you know, if you're shuffling around, you know. But there are now ways of being safe and going somewhere and everybody's done it for you. Being part of a group without being somebody with the lollipop, you know, walking around a city. So let's look at something like cruises, because cruises is not my thing.
It's about to be your thing because we're co-hosting a cruise next spring.
Yeah, I want to move to that in a second, because I didn't know there were different types. I knew there were high-end ones and less expensive ones. But if that's your thing and you want to go and see the icebergs, or, and I think there are certain things that really the only way to do it is on a cruise. Like if you wanted to go up to the Arctic something like that.
Absolutely. We've got more to say on that. Hold tight. We'll be right back.
This episode sponsored by BetterHelp.
Debbie, wouldn't you say that time is one of our most important resources?
Tommy, I just wish I had unlimited time for my family and friends. Don't you find the days are just flying by?
But it's true that you make what's important to you a priority. And when we think about relationships, we can't forget about our relationship with ourselves.
You know, we all have ups and downs, and sometimes the downs can be quite tough. And another ear can be so important. And sometimes it's even better if it's somebody who's not a personal friend or a relative. So I think it's good to talk to somebody else.
And with therapy, you can learn positive coping skills, how to set boundaries, and it empowers you to be the best version of yourself.
Give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and work with your schedule.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/decorator to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/decorator.
A big part of design and decoration for us, and everyone really, is putting your memories on display. When my children went away to camp, it was the first time we'd kind of not been together, and they both wrote me letters, and they were probably 8 and 9 years old, and they are the funniest letters, and I framed them, put them up on the wall, and I see them every day, and sometimes if I feel a bit down, I just read those letters, mostly asking me for more candy, but I think framing a letter is a wonderful thing.
That is why we love the idea of Framebridge. They honestly make it so easy to get anything framed, and they're really, truly affordable.
It's easy to do in person at one of their 20 Framebridge retail stores, and
it's so easy to order online at framebridge.com.
You just upload a photo for them to print. Picking the frame was really easy, but also really hard because there were so many options. I went for walnut, which is a solid walnut frame, but I think next time I'll go for Florence. And they'll mail it to you using their free, secure, prepaid packaging service.
Framebridge has been trusted to frame millions of our memories.
Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store. You can custom frame just about anything. Again, that's framebridge.com. So the big hot thing at the moment are kind of celebrity cruises where, not that Tommy and I are huge celebrities, but, you know, people know us, where you can join us.
I think together we equal one celebrity.
Yeah. Two of us together are Jennifer Aniston. So you can choose the person you'd like to go with around what they do. So Stephen King does a writing cruise. How I would love to do
that. Does he?
Yes.
Wow.
And so what you and I are going to do, we're doing a river cruise, partly because we both want to go to Budapest. So we're going to go along the Danube, and you get to hang with us if you want. I can people are saying, I'm not going on that one.
What's so nice about it is that Scenic, which is the company that we've hooked up with to do our co-hosting cruise on the Danube, has these beautiful boats that are quite, you know, reasonably sized. So when you're doing a river cruise, you're not on a giant, like something that looks like an apartment building and floats on the ocean, goes across the Atlantic. You're on quite a smaller scale, but all of the amenities are quite lovely. You know, you have beautiful meals, gorgeous restaurant that you eat in. You have excursions off the boat. You know, you're not trapped in the middle of the sea. You're actually going on shore and doing really interesting excursions. On our cruise, it's going to be with one or the other or both of us doing really interesting activities. So it's not kind of what you think of like, you know, the trough buffet with hundreds and hundreds of people. It's quite intimate and interactive. Like the last one that I did that I co-hosted with Chef Lynn Crawford, we had like a crazy trivia night that we just impromptu did in the bar one night with all the other guests. You kind of really get to know people, and it's quite intimate and interactive. And I love that.
Well,
I'm
really looking forward to it after blabbing on about it's not my thing.
Not being a cruise culture person.
This is different. Like you say, it's more personal. So Scenic River Cruises.
Scenic River Cruises is the company, and Exploring the Danube is what we're doing.
Yeah. So you can then do the kind of thing my kids do is the whole Airbnb, and they're very good at that. So they'll choose a location.
So is Patrick.
me, I'd end up in somebody's garage. I think I'd get it wrong. But they seem to find the most incredible places. And both of them have done it on their yes. honeymoons. The younger generation, who were very good at this, have discovered something that has peeved me for a while. And that is, after 20-odd years or 30 years, whatever, of flying across the Atlantic, meeting people on the plane who say, yeah, I'm doing Europe in a week. And I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't go to one place. You cannot do, mm-hmm. you know, all these countries or all even one country in a week. So I think with the Airbnb thing, what my kids have really started to love is they'll choose somewhere they want to go. So let's say Barcelona, and they'll find mm-hmm. a place, they'll live among the locals, and they really get to know it. And I think that's fantastic.
Airbnb really helps with that. Like, you know, when you're doing your own cooking in an apartment and you have yeah. a kitchen and you're in someone's actual home, you know, it really does give you that vibe of living like a local that you really can't get from a traditional hotel or resort exactly. experience.
Exactly. So I think one big lesson is, got a wonderful world out there to explore. I know we all want to go everywhere, but try and, you know, live in one place for that week, even if you do 1 week here and 1 week somewhere else, because especially in Europe, where every city, you know, Barcelona is not Madrid, Madrid is not Seville, Seville is not Rome, Seville, you know, they all have their own personality, and it's often cheaper to stay in one place. And then there are the specialty holidays, which have exploded. I call them retreats, but they used to be, you know, biking weeks, cooking weeks,
yes,
yoga weeks.
Yes.
Now those have exploded.
It's almost like the combination of a holiday and a learning experience.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
The learning experience is built in because you have guides or you have chefs, teachers, you know, showing you something that you might not know or honing a skill that you might want to develop.
Exactly. And when you do something like that, and there are thousands of them to choose from, you must do your research, but they do all the work for you. So they've organized the meals. So you're not arriving in a place where you've got to find a restaurant. And it's a very good introduction to a place. So with what we do in Tuscany, very often people have maybe not been to Italy before, or they haven't been to Tuscany mm-hmm. before. So we give this kind of package of a week with us, where you experience mm-hmm. all these, well, you've done it and hosted with me there,
yeah.
where you can experience, and many, many people say, oh, I want to come back. You know, where would I stay? What are the good hotels? Or where's an Airbnb? Or can I rent a house, which is a big thing where I am? So I think that's the interesting part of doing an organized retreat. You're with a relatively small amount of people, anywhere between 5 and 20, and you can do a girls retreat. So a lot of women like that. Mm-hmm. It's all women. Or we do classic car rallies. Men and women can come, and they can really experience Tuscany behind the wheels of a classic car, which we supply. Or you can say you can go to, you know, a cooking retreat or a meditation retreat. But you kind of get these built-in friends, you know, you're going to really bond with other people. So it's a very modern way of traveling today and very successful. Now, the warning sign of this is, because it's become very popular, the retreat business, is try and do your research, try and find quotes. I went on a detox week and it was somebody's house in Long Island. And it was probably I think I left early. It was the most miserable week of my life. And it was in somebody's suburban house. She obviously went off herself a juicer and was like, she charged me this money to make me a couple of celery juices during the day. There was nothing to do. My bedroom still had toys in it. She'd obviously moved her kid out. And it was like, what am I doing here? So a lot of people are getting on the bandwagon in all countries and saying, oh, yeah, I have this, you know, fairly decent sized place, and then I'm going to create a program. So watch that. The other thing that I've done very successfully over the years are renting houses. And again, do your research. It's much easier today because, you know, you choose where you want to go. And it's a very inexpensive way of doing a very exciting holiday, because if you don't want to cook, a chef can come along. But you can also get a large place and share it with other friends or other families. Now, if you do it with, let's say, there's a four-bedroom place, that's eight people, you all split the cost, you end up paying for a really beautiful place, rental property, whether you're going to Jamaica or Tuscany, at a fraction of what you'd pay in a hotel. Sure, you're doing your own breakfast, but who cares? You know, you walk into a village.
Yeah, or you're not. I mean, many of these home rentals are run by concierges and they're almost run like hotels.
Yeah.
And there's kind of an amenities menu that you can choose from. You can have maid service every day or you can have it once every 3 days. You can have a chef who's in residence that prepares all the food for you and you just get a grocery bill and a bill for their time. You can have, you know, all kinds of a la carte add-ons or you can cook for yourself. But my family's done that once and we really enjoyed it. And it was a really great way to be together, but also to have, you know, an extraordinary experience. And I do think that's a really, really interesting sort of aspect of travel.
I thought everybody knew about this. And when we have guests, and I mention that I fell in love with Tuscany with a young family and other mothers, you know, and we would rent a place and it was very noisy with all the kids and the husbands going off. And we got into this amazing rhythm during the week. You know, we would, you know, lie by the pool all day and then do long, lazy lunches. The girls would go off to the market in the morning and, you know, everybody would make something for lunch. And then in the evening, we'd all just go for a pizza. And it was a fabulous, inexpensive way of, you know, a nice sunny holiday, or you can go to the Caribbean and do the same thing there.
And it's cost sharing if you're sharing it with other people.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, with family or with friends. Can I tell you a story about how I was introduced to Airbnb?
Yeah.
So Patrick, my partner, is young, like your kids. And so he is a real advocate for the whole Airbnb thing. And early on in our relationship, we went and stayed in an Airbnb. And as we were about to leave, he said, okay, well, I'm going to put the stuff in the car. You do the dishes. And I looked at him and I said, why would I do the dishes? And he said, no, it's sort of customary that if you're at an Airbnb, you leave it clean, you make the bed and you do the dishes. And I was like, so wait a minute, I'm paying somebody else to clean the room? I totally didn't get it. And he was like, no, this is part of it. I mean, it's less money than a hotel and there isn't maid service and there isn't, you know, all these extra things. That's what you do when you're living like a local. You do your dishes and you don't leave a dirty sink as a courtesy. And I just kind of thought, okay, wait a minute. It was a big adjustment for me.
Forget, I'd rather have the Four Seasons. But one other thing that came up, so if you go somewhere like the Caribbean, you don't really need to rent a car. But if you go to Europe, you really do, unless you're in a village, you need to rent a car. So this is something that
yes.
I have to drum home to everybody because they say it's not the law, but you must get your international driving license. Not to rent
yes.
the actual car, because, you know, you can only have one driving license in the world. So you can have a couple of passports, but you must have your driving license. But when you're actually in the country driving and the police stop you, which they tend to do a lot, do these stops, they will ask for the international driving license. Doesn't matter how many times you say to that sexy Italian policeman, oh, but they said I didn't need one. They're trying to make money and they will fine you on the spot and it's over €1,000
right.
euros. So if you're coming to Europe and maybe your travel agent or the car company said you don't need it, you are wrong. And I know in Canada, it's not much. It's $40 or $50. If you go to the CAA, 2 years ago, they were saying, well, you don't really need it. And I said, yes, you do, because I live there. And now the woman that I deal with in Toronto, she says, oh my God, now we're telling everybody because we've heard so many horror stories. It's not expensive.
It's very important.
It's so important to have your international license. So, I mean, honestly, Tommy, I could chat about travel and all the ideas forever and ever and ever. And I think I want to do another one on amazing retreats around the world. And also the other thing that you and I love about hotels is the inspiration you get for your own home, you know, from whether you're just going to the bar or not.
Yeah, there's always that design inspiration.
Yeah, I think that's a whole podcast, though, to just talk about, because that costs nothing. Some peanuts and a beer, and you can get amazing ideas.
I think a big conversation within the world of travel these days is, you know, it is certainly something that is a privilege. And it's not just, you know, an automatic thing. Not everyone can afford to do it. But those people who can afford to do it, there are best practices, there are different price points. As you've outlined in this conversation, there's different ways to travel at different levels of cost. And one thing that I personally, and Patrick and I have had a couple of conversations about this, and we're starting to do some research on it, is if you're a person who travels frequently and you're a little concerned about the environmental impact of that, because with fuel burning and flights and things, it's a big conversation in the world of ecology and climate change and things. There are companies now that will provide a service of carbon offsetting, which means that you pay into an organization which tries to reduce the impact of your travel as an individual person.
Oh, that's cool.
Or an individual family, by making sure that trees are planted, that various kinds of organizations that you can donate that money to that are cleaning the environment and that are trying to offset this extreme amount of travel. Because as you said in the beginning of our chat today, there has never been so many people traveling. And I think it's due to a few different factors. I mean, I've noticed the last couple of summers that we've been in Europe, it just seems like there are so many more people. But you have to remember, it used to be that North Americans would come to Europe, Asian folks would come to Europe, Australians would come to Europe, and Europeans would kind of just, it's home, so they would just stay where they were. Now you have all of that influx of people from those places far away, plus you have inter-European travel because it costs 20 quid to get on a plane from Switzerland to go to Rome. Or if you want to go from Paris to the Greek islands, it costs 20 euro return. And so you have all these people within Europe who are traveling like crazy. So when you go to a place like Notre Dame, there's so many people. And, you know, you have to try to figure out ways to travel where you can avoid those kinds of crowds, where you can go in off season and support businesses that are not as busy as they are in July, August, September. So there's that whole conversation too, right? There's that kind of like trying to calibrate your timing.
Yeah, that's great. So if you're going to go to, let's say, if you want to always wanted to go to Venice, for instance, don't go in the middle of the summer. It's miserable because it's smelly, because, yeah, you know, it's dry.
It's no fun.
And there's too many people. Go off season. You know, it's fabulous. You know, the great thing about living in Europe, we hopped on a train in February and went to Naples for the day. You know, it would take us 6 hours to drive, but we went on the fast train. We had lunch in Naples. We spent a bit of money, good tourists. And then we came back, you know, on the 7 o'clock train at night.
And train travel is more environmentally friendly.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, much more. And Europeans use the train much more. So, Tommy, I think this is honestly a subject that I would really love to go into the kind of different bits of it. And I'd like to really talk on another podcast about the retreat business and about all the amazing places, because I studied it by having to go to those places, of course. And I've always taken myself away to a retreat, really, since I had my children. In fact, the day they were born, I was like, I'm buggering off. No. But I've always given mummy a week off on my own with nobody. And I love it. I absolutely love it. And that's how I recharge my batteries. So I know a lot about the retreat world and what's in and what's out and what's good and what's bad and how much they cost.
Have you ever done a silent retreat? I couldn't do it. There's no way I could do it.
Okay, I held my breath then for 2 seconds.
And they don't speak for like 7 days. I couldn't do it. There's no way. There's no chance.
I couldn't do it.
Patrick's done it.
Well, yes, he did. He did it in Ibiza, right?
He told me that he went on a retreat where he was silent for 7 days. You know what I said? I said, there's been a few times I wish you'd be silent for 7 days.
All right, my love. So let's chat soon. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
And as usual, we will have some links in our show notes. In particular, my travel agent, Total Advantage, and Debbie's travel agent, because we talked about those on today's podcast. And if you want to join us in the springtime on an actual river cruise in Europe, please click on the link in our show notes for Scenic Cruises, because that's going to be a hoot and a half. Again, thanks for listening.
Bye, Tommy.
Bye, Debbie.
I'm Sarah Burke, and I host the Women in Media podcast, where I'm exploring the challenges women face in the media spotlight and celebrating our triumphs. My guests come from radio, TV, news, and sports, and we'll cover topics like leadership, diversity, stereotypes, and more. Most of all, I'm looking to build a community through a space where we can discuss anything. The Women in Media podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at womeninmedia.ca. This podcast is distributed by the Women in Media Podcast Network. Find out more at womeninmedia.network.